Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Ifrit, and we are the Unhallowed Reviewers. I'm going to start off this podcast with an apology to our listeners, if we have any. Last week, I had brought up a movie that was coming to Netflix called The Perfection, and I was kind of excited about it based on the hype that it was getting. Unfortunately, I was wrong about the release date. I thought that it said March 25th, and it said May 25th. So if anybody out there was like me and was super stoked about this movie coming out and then it never did come out on Netflix, I apologize. And I suffered along with you until I bothered to look it up when it didn't show up on Netflix.
I was pretty sure
that's
that
coming out in May.
We really didn't like say the release dates on most movies, but
no, but I remember I mentioned that one. Yeah, I remember I mentioned that one because I said tomorrow it's coming out, and then I realized that it, and I guess I just assumed that because it was a Friday. I was right. Like, oh, yay, it's coming out on Friday, whatever, because we do record on Thursday night.
Dude, don't let him into the back scenes.
What?
Don't let him into the back. The scenes.
Oh, man, it's too late. Scenes. Fourth wall's broken, man. So I was wrong, and I was like, oh, wait, maybe it was the 25th. So without looking it up, I didn't bother to look it up. I just assumed it would come out in a few days, so I was anticipating it. Then it didn't come out, so I disappointed myself twice. I put myself through that.
I thought you were going to apologize for the weird stuff that happened last time with our audio.
Oh, well, we can apologize for that, too. Our recording last week was a little jacked up. I tried to fix it as best I could, and hopefully we won't have that problem again. But we do apologize for any, you know, technical difficulties do happen down here, as you might imagine. Our Wi-Fi isn't the best.
So I went and watched Us a few days ago without Sickle. I think we're going to talk about that for a little bit in the podcast, but I wanted to actually talk about some of the trailers I saw that I think I might have saw for the first time in theaters, and how I forgot how cool watching trailers in the theaters are. Like I saw the Avengers Endgame trailer and I was like, oh my God, feelings.
No, seriously. Trailers are like half of the enjoyment for me sometimes.
Yeah,
depending on the movie.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I didn't really feel that stuff or even get comprehension on what movies I really wanted to see while watching trailers on YouTube. I don't know what it is, but movie theater trailers will always get me. But the two I saw I wanted to talk about were, I finally saw the Pet Sematary trailer that everybody was mad about, and then I saw a trailer for Ma that I thought was, and it made me really want to see Ma. But the Pet Sematary trailer, it looks cool. Like, I've never really watched the original Pet Sematary, like, enough to recall it. And I've never read the book. But I didn't realize there was, like, some kind of crazy entity. I thought it was just an Indian burial ground or something.
Yeah, there is, the entity that's in Pet Sematary, the book, doesn't appear in the first movie adaptation. It doesn't, if I recall, like, Cliff Notes version of Pet Sematary, in the book, it doesn't necessarily appear either. I believe that they have an interaction with it, it approaches them, but I don't think that it's, like, it ever at any point becomes the key figure. It remains kind of this mysterious entity throughout the book. I don't think I don't think it's anything where, like, it's the ultimate confrontation there at the end or anything like that. I could be way wrong with that, but the interactions that I saw, the iterations from the book involving the creature, this entity, it's more of this force. But it does have a place in the story, and they ignored that in the movie, in the previous adaptation, and it looks like they're actually going to bring that up in this one, which I am super excited about as well.
Me too, because it looks like the kids that are brought back are part of this crazy, like, death cult for that entity, and that just rubs me the right way. I've never really watched, I'm going to, like, expose a lot of myself. I'm kind of more of, like, a modern horror person, like, and I never really watched a lot of, like, the cult horrors I probably should have, like Chuds and Children of the Corn and things like that. And I don't know, I think this looks like something that would be appealing to me, where I've never, like, really watched a thing from Children of the Corn and been like, I should go back and watch that, you know?
Yeah, it's tough for me, too, sometimes, with some of those that are seen as cult classics. I have a confession to make. I have never, as a horror fan, I shouldn't be saying this, but I have not seen The Omen, the original Omen, or Rosemary's Baby all the way through.
Neither have I.
And those are supposedly, like, two, like, major classics of the genre, and part of it for me is that, like, it has to be the right kind of subtlety to have an impact on me, and those movies just don't. I don't know. There's just something that it wasn't appealing to me about those. And I gave Children of the Corn a chance because I know it has this almost like creature-like moment towards the end involving the demon. But it doesn't. It's not a big payoff.
I think, like, I guess what I would call us are like hipster millennial demons, where a lot of the things that we've done to develop our horror sense have been things that are different than a traditional horror fan, maybe.
Elaborate.
All right, anyway, the Pet Sematary looks cool, especially after that trailer that everybody got up but heard about, for me, because it looked really cool and something like I've never seen, and it's Stephen King-y, so anything that develops Stephen King's pantheon, it makes me happy.
Yeah, I agree. It's getting a lot of hype already, which I'm surprised about. From the initial trailer, I was like, nah, this looks stale. It looks stagnant to me. And then the second trailer was like, okay, I'm liking this a little bit more. People are saying it's pretty freaky. Yeah, just because the first trailer looked like all of the great moments were going to be just hacked from the original adaptation.
Yeah.
And that I was like, nah, that bothers me. Like, if your best moments are going to be that, and then the rest of it's just paint-by-numbers, you know, horror story, like, that's not giving Stephen King justice, and it's not giving the fans anything. So I'm glad to see that the second trailer looked like it was branching out a little bit more, and we might be getting something pretty great.
Yeah. One of the other trailers before we talk about Ma that I saw that I felt the same way about was the Hellboy. I saw the original Hellboy trailer on a theater screen, and it made me really excited.
Yes, I am really excited for that, and I like, me and you both like the same elements that we're seeing in the latest trailer, the R-rated trailer.
Mm-hmm.
The elements of Lovecraftian type creatures making an appearance.
More of like pulling from the comic book, I think. Like Mike Mignola pulls from like that lore a lot, but I like that it's like making it kind of seem more like the comic book, like the second Hellboy kind of did for me. I think it's the first one did it too, but the second one did it better.
Yeah, I do see some conflict. I read a report like that was, you know, visiting the studio, one of those studio reports, and they were talking about how grounded and visceral it's going to be, and I don't appreciate the conflict in what we're seeing in the trailers with that statement. Like, I like, because I love that idea. I would love if it was just like Hellboy, like, trying to track down this witch, and, like, almost the entire movie takes place in, like, a mansion, and he's, like, having to, like, work through this maze of a mansion to, like, get her or whatever, you know? And it's, like, super grounded in, like, in visceral and gritty. So, like, when you get these, which, again, we're looking forward to, but when you get these, like, open, epic, you know, outside shots of this monster, like, going through a bridge and stuff, you're like, okay, I'm getting a little bit too much comic booky action adventure.
I don't think that the movie you're talking about is a Hellboy movie, honestly. Like,
oh no, I agree. No, I agree with you. I'm not putting Hellboy into that box. It's just that's what I picture when I see things like that, or when I hear things like that.
Say it's like visceral. You're like, oh, I want it to be like The Collector or something like that. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, I don't.
I'm definitely not getting that from this movie.
Oh, definitely not. And I think I'm coming at this at the wrong angle. I want to appreciate Hellboy as Hellboy, which is what I think we're gonna get. But, you know, maybe for just to give an example of something where I think that Spawn is very like out there, in a similar tone and perspective as Hellboy, in the sense that like he's fighting things in a pretty epic setting. most of the time. And this new movie that they're doing with Todd McFarlane sounds like it's going to be grounded and gritty and more of a mystery and spawns more of a force. So it's really taking, it's not following the comic at all in that sense to me. And I like that we might be getting something different. I don't know, when you, I know that nobody likes to suck Christopher Nolan's dick anymore, but I really like those Batman movies because of that. Like, the reality, the groundedness, the, there's no, like, crazy epic back shots of, like, crazy explosions and his Batmobile can, like, shoot contained nuclear warheads at Joker's henchmen or something. I don't know. It's crazy stuff like
third
that.
One. I mean, like, they do some pretty crazy stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I was going to say more along the lines of, like, I could see Constantine having a really good, like, episode, like, a really good movie like that. You know? If they pulled Constantine out of his own ass for 5 seconds and stopped making it so intense, it could be, like, a really cool movie about him just, like, trying to exorcise this demon from this, like, halfway house or something, and it gets real visceral and gritty and shit, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I would totally be down for something like that.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I think we're both excited for both of those two, but I do want to talk about one that I recently saw that I got excited for, which was Maw. And, like, at first that movie comes off, if you're not really sure what it is, or if you haven't seen the trailer or weren't paying attention, it comes off as kind of silly. Like, it's these teenagers who are originally trying to get someone to buy alcohol for them, and they end up meeting this lady who eventually turns and buys them alcohol and then invites them to her place, her basement specifically, to party. And then stuff starts kind of getting out of hand as far as, like, how the parties are going, and she starts stalking them, and it just escalates. It seems like it's going to escalate so quickly. And the way that, like, the preview flashes is what I'm going to call them, you know, like, the we don't want to show too much, but we want to get you into it, made me feel really like it's going to get crazy. And I'm down. Like, some of the stuff that happens in the trailer, I'm like, yes, that sounds crazy. I want to see it. I want to see it happen. I want to watch it.
Yeah, I have two thoughts on that. First, when you hear a movie called Ma that's coming out and it's a horror movie, you're not thinking the M-A. You're thinking M-A-W. But it's just Ma.
I didn't think
M-A.
That, actually, but I can see why someone would.
But, like, secondly, like, yeah, the trailer does such a good job of, like, giving you an idea of the chaos that's going to be happening, but you still have no idea what's going on. You don't know why. You don't know how either. You don't know how things are happening. It's just happening, and you're like, I need to know why. I need to know everything about this.
Yeah.
And it makes it really interesting. It has nothing to do with Jordan Peele, as far as I know, but it gives me that vibe of his films, especially Get Out. I don't know what it is, but there's just something that gives me that vibe of it having some social commentary in it, and being primarily like a psychological piece.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for it too. I think it has potential.
I'm hoping it doesn't do what, like, some movies do and it shows too much in the trailer. Like, cause right now it's hard to tell, but they come out with like a second trailer that might be a little too much, you know? Cause I can't imagine that there's going to be that much that's not in the trailer, but I'm hoping it's good. The stuff that's not in there is good. But if they do a second trailer, it's like you might be pulling too much out, and let's say it's like a recut or something like that. So we're kind of in dangerous territory now, because I'm really happy and excited for it, but I'm also very tentative of, like, them spoiling the entire movie.
Yeah, you don't really know what to expect. I think because we've been jaded by trailers that were, you know, like you're talking about, you get the best moments in the trailer, and then you don't get anything else. and vice versa, where you're like pleasantly surprised, where you're like, that movie looks just terrible, and then you watch it and you're like, oh my gosh, whoever made that trailer should be fired.
Yeah, like the exact opposite of It Follows.
The exact opposite of It Follows, there, yes. You gotta get your weekly little It Follows jab in there.
Yeah, It Follows burn. And people still love that movie, and I just don't get it. So every time I see an article or something about it, I feel like it's my duty to talk some shit about it.
You know, I gotta bring that up really quick. I get the same way. Like, I've been trying to explain this to people lately, in regards to...
You talk to other people but me?
What? No, not about you. No, no, I'm saying I have
other
this...
other people than me.
Oh, to other people than you? Not very many. Mostly just my split personalities. But the I have that pathos when it comes to... I have a certain pathos when it comes to, like, movie critique. There was a movie that came out recently. I'm not going to bring it up because it wasn't a horror movie. Like with the title of it or anything, but I found that I become like a rabid animal that's been cornered when I didn't like a movie as much as everybody else adored it. And it makes it to where I get to the point where like I become like where I hated the movie. Like my perspective on the movie changed because everybody loved it so much and adored it so much and held it in such high acclaim.
Was it Captain Marvel?
And I'm just going over and over again. It wasn't that good. It wasn't that good. No, really, it sucked. And then, like, I get to the point where I'm talking like I hated the movie, and I didn't. But I get to that point because I become a cornered animal. No,
was
it wasn't
Captain
Marvel,
though?
No, it wasn't Captain Marvel.
What
I liked
was
that
it?
Movie.
Let's, now we have to know.
Oh, no, I don't want to talk about it. This
Come
is
on,
the right
just,
podcast
just say
for
one word, and then we'll move on to talk about us.
Black Panther.
Okay. And that's how you know that Sickle's racist.
There
and
it
now
is.
Now let's move on to us. Okay. So, us... Us was an interesting movie. So the first thing I said to Sickle when I came out of the theater was, that was unsettling.
Yes.
And I think, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think that was a really good way to describe that movie. Because I don't think it was like, it wasn't like absentia level crazy or pack level scary where like something lingers with you, right? I mean, unless you live by like tunnels or something. I guess we should preface this by saying, there's probably going to be spoilers, so if you haven't seen Us, thanks for watching, like, comment, subscribe, you know, don't ruin the movie for yourself, because it's pretty good, and, you know, we'll see you next time, et cetera, et cetera. But here, spoilers, beware, we're going to talk about Us spoilers, so. Yeah.
Unless you're like me, where you just don't feel like you could be ruined by a movie by hearing everything about it, that's fine.
Yeah,
keep
there
listening.
You go. Then stick around, but... Like, unless you live somewhere close to tunnels or something like that, I could see how you might be afraid. And you've, like, never explored them all or aren't allowed to. I could see that. But nothing crazy scary. Like, something that was, like, nothing was stuck with me. Like, it did with Absentia and those kind of movies that just get me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely isn't, I don't know. What's the name of that movie?
Get Out?
No, that just came out last year. That won all the awards. The horror movie.
Oh, Hereditary.
Hereditary. Thank you. It's definitely not that level of unsettling or disturbing.
No.
You're not feeling like your soul is gone after watching it.
I was talking to somebody about Hereditary the other day, and the only way I could describe it was the same way we did the other day, which was after you watch that movie, you feel like you've gone on a journey. Like, I don't probably ever need to watch Hereditary again because the experience was so intense for me. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, so it definitely doesn't reach that level. I think that's due in large part to Jordan Peele's inherent dark humor that he has applied to both of his films. He's always got some comedic relief going on. And unlike Get Out, Us has it a little bit more persistent throughout because it's mostly the dad in the film. And he really delivers. And because he's in the entirety of the film, you get a lot of that humor throughout. And so it kind of keeps, because this film isn't going to build up a lot, it's not building up to a lot of big scare moments. And it's all about the atmosphere. Him constantly bringing it down keeps it from getting too intense ever at any point, to me, at least.
Yeah, I think I agree with that as far as, like, the tone set. And when you watch things... Well, I guess we kind of have to compare to Get Out because that's the only other movie he's done so far. But I don't really like comparing this movie to Get Out because I think they're completely different movies.
I agree.
But as far as the humor goes, Get Out humor was more like throwing a brick through a window, I guess. Like, everything's going smoothly and then all of a sudden it's like, boom!
Then
a friend comes
in
and there's humor, or somebody says something and it's meant to be a joke, and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah. I did have an issue with Us. that, well, first off, I do want to say that I thought it was a fantastic film. Yep. I think it's really, really, really well made. The mm-hmm. social commentary is great. I was telling Ifrit the other day that I found the foreshadowing to be some of the best I've seen in a movie in a long time. Like, Jordan Peele is just constantly dropping foreshadowing throughout the entire movie, and you're just like, this is so great. He's just, like, planting everything in the story for you ahead of time, and you're like, but you're learning it later on, and it's great. I thought he did a really good job with that in his storytelling. I did think that the core concept of the plot, particularly when the ending, when it culminates into the ending, was very similar and reminded me a lot of another movie. And it's called The Broken. And The Broken is about these basically mirrored entities of everybody breaking through mirrors and, like, murdering the person on the other side of the mirror. And the whole point, and again, we said that there was going to be spoilers, so this is the biggest spoiler of them all.
Yeah, so if you haven't, and if you stick around because you wanted to, or because Sickle said you're cool if you do it, this is the point where you want to, like, earmuffs or go away.
Yes. The biggest twist in Us is that the mom ends up being the, you know...
Tethered, is what
they're called. Yes, the tethered doppelganger.
Yeah.
And she didn't even know it. She had been so long ago.
Oh, she knew it. I think that she did know it, though. Like,
I think she came to the realization there at the end. I don't think she knew it the whole time.
I guess you're right.
I think she blocked it out.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, she knew definitely when it happened. I think there was some type of, and we discussed this a lot after the movie, that there was some type of trauma, psychological trauma, even for this darkly psychotic tethered person, that when they were introduced to the outside world, they were blown away by it, and it took time to adjust, and that maybe was enough to cause the mind to have a lapse on the memory of it. Anyways,
so what I'm going to follow up with is, like, how is that a bad thing? I mean, I don't necessarily think reusing a plot device is a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's just that the plots were already very similar. And so when the twist comes around and you find out that this character you've been following the whole movie, oh, you're actually the doppelganger, as opposed to the heroine. And it was that, it's that, it, like, it was literally the same thing. Like, the twist was exactly the same based on a concept that was very, very similar.
I guess part of the reason I keep getting caught in these traps, and I'm air quoting traps, is because almost everybody else saw that coming. I didn't, because I think I was, A, focused on other parts of the movie that I was enjoying more than guessing, and I think that's something I do typically when I watch movies. And the other part is that I thought it was too obvious to happen. And whenever my brain gets set on the idea that something's too obvious to happen, it just throws it out the window and ignores it, even if it keeps getting hinted at over and over again, right? And then I forget, and I get surprised. It's like I'm an idiot savant. I just allow myself to get surprised by stuff that I already knew was going to happen that I just forgot about.
Hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I mean, I think that's the whole point of those things. Anybody who brags about catching the twist halfway through a movie, it's like, good for you. You didn't get to enjoy it as much as I did, because I got to appreciate the movie for what it was supposed to be.
That's
like
a good
being
point.
Able to, yeah, like being able to keep your mind open and just let it experience the scene, the plot as it develops with the characters. Then you get a way better experience of the movie than other people do. And I feel like I've had that approach with other movies where, for whatever reason, my brain was in the right place. Mm-hmm. To watch a movie that probably wasn't all that great, but because I invested my mind into the characters, it impacted me a lot more, and it became a better film. And I feel like with Us, like, I mean, I wasn't really even thinking about it, man. I wasn't paying attention to it, so it wasn't obvious to me either, really. I don't know. I wasn't thinking it was coming, but I couldn't help. Because I liked The Broken. I thought the story for The Broken was really good.
Is it better than Us?
Not at all. The story was original to me. Like, I liked the way that it developed. But the overall, the film is really bland and boring.
The Broken?
Yes. Us? Yes, yeah. No, Us is much better film. Like
Us better than The Broken? Or
oh, versa? Not even close. Okay. Not even close.
So and you like Broken more than Us?
No. I did not like The Broken. Like, I would never watch The Broken again. I watched it once, and depending on the person, I might recommend it to somebody. But now, I would just recommend Us, because Us is a much better film.
I was just going to say that, because we were talking about Hereditary and how it would be hard to watch again. I think Us would be fun to watch again.
Totally. I would totally watch Us again. I'd like to catch more nuance. I think Jordan Peele's got more stuff hidden in there for people to appreciate, and it was entertaining. Get Out is also it was an entertaining film. There's a lot to catch in it. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing that I didn't even really think about from Get Out. I've watched it 2 or 3 times. The first time I watched that, I didn't catch this part. So I read a review of it, and this guy was saying that he picked Cotton to get himself out of the situation.
Oh God! And I was like,
"What is he talking about?" I was like, "What is he?" At first, I was like, "What is that? What are you talking about?" I was like, "Oh, he did. He picked Cotton out of the chair," and I was like, "That's so crazy! Like, what a nice little piece to put in the movie. Like, it's just all that little nuance that Jordan Peele has worked into his films, and I'm sure that Us has tons of stuff that
haven't seen. It's hard for me to like see some of that stuff, like the social commentary in Us. I didn't really get,
but it wasn't, and he came out and said this himself, it was not racially charged like Get Out was. That wasn't the point. It was more the class system that we essentially have that is ignored because we say there isn't one. But it's just that it's the disparaging gap that's growing ever wider between the rich and the poor.
That makes sense.
And yeah, and I thought like it was a good metaphor for it. And pulling from the Hands Across America thing was a great move. Go ahead.
One thing I was kind of like wanted to know more about, like, so I think one of the main differences between not main differences. One of the things that Sigal and I get caught up in sometimes is like this argument between either like science and magic, or explain too much versus didn't explain too much, kind of stuff like that, where we're both on just some reason on opposite ends of a movie because of it. Like The Autopsy of Jane Doe is the one I remember the most, where we talked
about it. And it depends on the movie too, because like it's hilarious how we swap sides. Like the next time I'll be like, oh, I love the mystical element, and you're like, oh, I love the science element, and then we swap the next movie.
And so this one, I was like, oh, cool, we got like some explanation right at the end of like very very small explanation of what these doppelgangers were, right?
Yeah,
but I also don't understand why that made them, like, for lack of a better descriptive term, like, kind of handicapped when it comes to, like, either speech or movement or whatever. Like, is it just because they were just down there so long, they went crazy? Is that kind of what I'm supposed to guess?
Well, I don't... This is the part where you wonder if it was a psychotic, broken person. That's explain, because like it's the tether, you know, as we find out later, it's not the tethered version, but the tethered version, the evil one, essentially throughout the movie, that's portrayed that way until the twist.
Yeah,
that version is the one telling us the story and telling us what's happening. So you're having to take the word of a demented person, essentially.
But I mean,
like, at face value. But I mean, like, all I was gonna say is like, I mean, that's what we had to base it off of. But let's take everything that she says for fact, right?
No, and we're talking about like the character's behavior, like how the doppelganger of the dad just screamed, like most of the males just screamed or growled, like.
Oh yeah, no, I was coming to that, okay. Because she gives an explanation for why that is, And you have to wonder if that's the What's real the reason or not. So that explanation was like that. What I picked up on was that the government was working on cloning, and then they discovered that by cloning a person, they can't clone the soul.
Oh,
and
so these
soulless bodies could be used to like somewhat puppeteer and control the soul contained body. And so like it was like kind of like a fracturing of the soul, but the original still contained most of the soul.
Okay.
And
so here's a question then.
Yeah.
What do you, I think, and this is a less of a question, I guess, and see if you agree. I think that when the main character as a little girl switched, that was far after the government had abandoned them.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, I think so too. It must have happened while after she was born. I mean, because it doesn't give any reasonable explanation for why the cloning would continue if they were abandoned. Like,
yeah.
So she must have been like essentially the last generation of the clones. That's just a big leap. Now I'm just moving on. Like, there's gonna be canon for a second one. I'm just making this up. But I mean, that's fun. That's fun stuff to speculate because you get an explanation, but you don't know how reliable the source is, and you're also, but it's also not all of it.
It's kind of like there's still a lot, right? Like, you never know because the person telling the story, air quotes, is like, may not even be like the person telling the story. I don't know.
yeah, it's so you don't know if the truth is reliable or not, but that speculation makes it more entertaining. It gives you entertainment after the movie's over.
Yeah,
because you get to go in there and think about it more. Either way, great second film release for Jordan Peele. Yeah. I'm excited to see what else he brings to the table.
I'm excited for Twilight Zone.
It seems like, yes, I really love what he's doing. Like, he's tackling everything in the right way, and I love that he's committing to the genre. It makes me so happy.
Jordan Peele, you're our only hope.
Yes. you and James Wan when he tries.
But actually saw a trailer for The Curse of La Llorona, too, and that movie looks good.
Yes. Yeah, it does. I'm excited for that one. That one, dude, oh, man. April is
crazy.
A really good month.
I watched one movie in the theater, and now I'm excited for the next 4 months. And I'm like, what happened?
But
that's all of our time for today. If you liked us or didn't like us, let us know in the comments. Let us know how you feel about all the trailers we talked about today, and if you're kind of excited or not excited. You know, we talk about it at the beginning of the year, but that doesn't mean we're not going to keep talking about it throughout the year.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but go watch Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark trailer. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.